Thank you, Brother Bob. I've had a lot of times when I've looked to my brother, and I'm privileged to have him as a brother. I'm honored and privileged to be with you this morning. I'll do my best to present what guidance the Holy Spirit has directed me to. I do ask for your faith and your prayers this morning that the Spirit of the Lord would be unrestrained and with us in great abundance. This is the first time I've spoken before this assembly in several years, so I'm a little bit nervous. But our instructions and edification, as the scripture says, is to come from above. I would like to relate a little story that started me on the process of this sermon. Several weeks ago, I was asked to preach at the East Local. And I looked down at the assembly, and my eyes focused upon some little children. They were Kevin McGee's little children. Lily and Millie, Olivia and Cameron. And the sweetness of their spirit. Entered my heart. Because you could see the love that they had, the love that they exuded. I gained a lot of love and respect for our little children, not only from that experience that I had, but from others. You know, we have been blessed as a church. You look around and you see all the little ones that will be growing up. And I hope that they are being nurtured in the love and compassion that Jesus Christ has for us. I want to relate to you another story. And this too was one of Steve's grandchildren, James Parker. I was the pastor at that time. And I was sitting where Bob is sitting at the East Local. And after the service, James Parker came up to me. And he says, "Larry, why are you so sad?" And I told him, I said, "James, I'm not sad." He says, "Well, you weren't smiling." So we can learn valuable lessons from our little children. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, you have to forgive me. I'm like my brother that spoke last Sunday at the East Local. My Bible doesn't want to turn the pages like it should. I don't guess I'm going to get it turned. Starting with the first verse, the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, I don't like to deride my brothers that were the disciples back then, but they had a little problem, I guess, with pride, as many of us do. We might be the ones that come unto Jesus and say, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of such little child in my name receiveth me." Now there's where I should stop, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go on to the sixth verse, because we see a lot of this in the world today. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man by whom the offenses come." We read in the paper and we see on television and we hear the news reports about little children being abused physically, being neglected, and being abused mentally or emotionally. But you notice what our Heavenly Father said: "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Now I thank God that our kids are raised in loving homes where they don't have to endure the offenses that the world has to endure. I am so thankful that Jesus gave the example of little children. And I'm thankful that I was able to witness Lily and Millie and Olivia and Cameron and their expression of love. Love not only for their grandparents, that's what I've seen, but love for our Heavenly Father. "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such a little child in my name receiveth me." Do we want to receive Jesus Christ? to become as a little child, we must have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. God will not turn away from a broken heart and a contrite spirit that is full of remorse for sin and heavy with the grief because of its wickedness. My brothers and sisters, do we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Are we willing to turn from sin and have remorse for the sin and grief for the wickedness that we have done? What attributes does little children possess that we must learn to be saved in the kingdom of heaven? You know, that kind of was puzzling to me, because I want to be saved in the kingdom of heaven. I want Jesus Christ to be able to look at me and say, "You are mine. You are one of my children." The Lord Jesus Christ asks us to come unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. This means we come in awareness of our own unworthiness to approach him. That we become aware that only through the atonement of Christ and the grace that he gives us can we become purified enough to stand in his presence and be accepted of him. I can imagine standing before Jesus Christ at that last day and him asking me about some of the things that I've done. Now, I've hoped that I've fully repented, but it still will be quite a shock for us to stand before our Lord and Savior, knowing how imperfect we are, knowing the problems that we've had in this life and haven't responded as he would respond. And I'm sure at that time, we will remember those things that we've done that we haven't repented of. Now, thankful enough, when we fully repent, that he not only forgives us, but he forgets. And we will forget as well. The Book of Mormon has a great story about a king who became like a little child in order to know God. The leader of a heathen and warlike people, he was taught by a humble prophet named Aaron. Aaron expounded the gospel to the king, and the king became converted and did prostrate himself and cried out. Let's turn to Alma. Alma, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 44th verse. And it came to pass that when Aaron had saw that the king would believe his words, he began to, from the creation of Adam, reading the scriptures unto the king. How God created man after his own image, and that God gave him commandments, and that because of transgression, man had fallen. And Aaron did expound unto him the scriptures from the creation of Adam, laying the fall of man before him and their carnal state, and also the plan of redemption, which was prepared from the foundation of the world through Christ for all whosoever would believe on his name. And since man had fallen, he could not merit anything of himself, but the sufferings and death of Christ atoned for their sins through faith and repentance. And that he breaketh the bands of death, that the grave shall have no victory, and that the sting of death should be swallowed up in the hope of glory. And Aaron did expound all these things unto the king. And it came to pass that after Aaron had expounded these things unto him, the king saith, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life of which thou hast spoken? Yea, what shall I do that I may be born of God, having this wicked spirit rooted out of my breast, and receive his spirit, that I may be lifted, that I may be filled with joy, that I may not be cast off at the last day? And behold, saith he, I will give up all that I possess. I will forsake my kingdom, that I may receive this great joy. But Aaron saith unto him, If thou desirest this thing, if thou wilt bow down before God, yea, if thou wilt repent of all thy sins, and will bow down before God, and call on his name in faith, believing that ye shall receive, then shalt thou receive the hope which thou desirest. And it came to pass that when Aaron had said these words, the king did bow down before the Lord upon his knees. Yea, even he did prostrate himself upon the earth and cried mightily, saying, O God, Aaron hath told me that there is a God. And if there is a God, and if thou art God, wilt thou make thyself known unto me? And I will give away all my sins to know thee, and that I may be raised from the dead and be saved at that last day. And it goes on to say that when the king had said these words, he was struck as if he were dead. I'm going to tell you another little testimony. When I grew up in the reorganized church, I spent at least 18 years, 19 years, never once had a Book of Mormon in my hand. I believed in the Book of Mormon. But when they taught about the Book of Mormon, they taught out of quarterlies. And what a mistake that is. I never had a Book of Mormon in my hand. So I was in chiropractic college, and we were studying about something that I wasn't very interested in. And I started reading the Book of Mormon. I did not have a testimony of the Book of Mormon until I got to this 13th chapter. I knew I believed in it, but I never had a testimony. And as I was reading this chapter about King Lamoni's father, I had what I call a vision, because I saw his father kneeling down before God. And I heard the words that was spoken, that he would give up his kingdom, all that he possessed, to know this God. And I saw as he kneeled down on the ground, and I heard him say that he would give away all of his sins to know him. How many of us have had an experience to where we look to God in such a way that we would be willing to give away all of our sins to know him? Or give up all that we possess to know him? You know, there's a story in the Bible about a rich man that came to Christ and asked, what could he do to be saved in the kingdom of heaven? And Christ told him to give away all that he possessed. And the man couldn't do it. I desire and I hope that we would all be willing to give away all that we have to know God. You know, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about how Christ came to the Nephites, and visited with them for a few days, and that he found great faith. And the Savior told them, bring their little children unto him. And when they took their children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them, and when he had done this, he wept. And he called down the angels of heaven to surround them. And he told the people, behold your little ones. And when he said this, notice that he didn't say, glance at them or casually observe them. Or occasionally take a look in their general direction. He said, behold them. To me, that means that we should embrace them with our eyes and with our hearts. We should see and appreciate them for all they really are, children of our Heavenly Father, with divine attributes. Behold your little children. I found a poem, and this poem spoke to my spirit, just as Kevin's children spoke to my spirit. Oh, that I were a child once more, and could see the world again. A fresh perspective, untarnished. God's work without an end. Looking in awe and amazement. New creations on display. Discovering and learning for the first time. A whole new life every day. And you know, that's exactly what we see in our kids. As they wake up in the morning, that's a new day of life. That's a new life for them. They generally forget what's in the past and look forward to the future. Watching miracles unfold right there before my eyes. Never a detail missed. The enlightening of my mind. Conquering countless challenges without fear or disbelief. Acting on quiet promptings. Standing upon my feet. Listening much more closely. Seeing with more intent. Observing movements and smelling. The feelings of much content. Grasping every moment with colors clear and bright. Studying new beginnings. Preparing to take flight. Rejoicing in small moments. Victories one by one. Achieving additional meanings. A purpose with the sun. Forgiving without resentment, unconditional love to show, and a world that has forgotten the glow within the soul. Oh, that I were a child again, pure and sweet and dear, molded by the Spirit, the reasons for which I'm here. Years ago, I remember another poem that was written, and you'll need to look it up to see the true meaning of it. But its flowers are red. And it goes through this child being in a classroom and for the first time and art class, and he started to draw pictures of flowers, and he colored them all different colors, red and green and blue, all the colors of the rainbow. But the teacher come by and said, that's not the way flowers are. Red flowers are red and green leaves are green. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's seen. So he started drawing flowers, red flowers, green leaves. Then he was moved to another school, and he went to class, and it was art class, and he started drawing flowers. Red flowers are red, green flowers are green leaves are green. And the teacher come by and says, oh, that's not the way flowers are seen. Flowers are all the colors of the rainbow. And that's the way they should be seen. See, we as adults, we have a great influence upon our kids. They see the things we do. And they copy it. And sometimes when we instruct them that red flowers are red and green leaves are green. We put our own mind on that child. Children are not perfect. They have many qualities that must develop to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We have many qualities that we must inherit to, or work on to inherit the kingdom of heaven. These include humility, meekness, unquestioning faith, and a willingness to believe. These qualities must endure even when in face of trial and confusion. I was going to talk more about mistreating kids, but I'm going to bag that part of my talk. The doctrine of the Church of Christ teaches that little children are innocent before God until they reach the age when they can discern right from wrong and understand the process of repentance. This is when children are candidates for baptism into the Church of Christ. Young children cannot sin. Young children who die in their infancy are covered by the atonement of Christ and saved in the kingdom of heaven. So how do we become like a little child? We must become submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord sees fit to inflict upon him or upon us. Even as a child doth submit to his father. Let's go to Mosiah, the first chapter. I'm going to start with the 115th verse. For behold, as Adam, or by nature they fall, even the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgments are just. And the infant that perishes not, that dieth in infancy. But when men drink damnation to their souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the nature of man is an enemy to God. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willingness to submit to all things, and the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. So this is the plan that we must follow in order to become as a little child. I feel that I must go to Galatians now. And in the fifth chapter of Galatians, I want to read you something that sounds like becoming as a little child. But the fruit of the Spirit is, the 22nd verse, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Such there is no law. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Read you a little story about a Pharisee and a publican. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, could not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Become as a little child. I hope that each one of you have the same testimony, that you look around and you see the love and admiration that little children have for their parents and their grandparents. And you look around and you see the love and admiration that little children have when they look up at a picture of Christ. There's a story that I read recently about a mother and son that went into an art gallery. And they went past these pictures of Christ. And she looked around and she saw the little boy fold his hands and bow his head. And he was praying unto Christ at that time. He wasn't worried about what people saw or what people thought. The only thing that he knew was that he had the desire to fold his head, hands, bow his head, and honor Jesus Christ. I'm out of time, but I want to testify to you that God and Jesus Christ loves you. And they want you to have eternal life in the kingdom of God. I also want to testify to you that I received sitting in a pew in 1968. God told me that this was the true church of Christ because of the love that one person had for the other. And that was the pure love of Christ. So I testify to you that this is the true Church of Christ, as I was told by the Spirit. May God bless you and bless this reunion. And I pray that I've said something that would be of worth to you this day. Thank you.